The following message was given by Brothers Robert Rios and Aaron Yankowski in the church in New York City, the Lord's Day, July 21st, 2019. The title of the message is The Intrinsic Significance of the Experience of Christ. Scripture reading, Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, 12, and 19 through 21.
At the start of this fresh new look at the experience of Christ, in the book of Philippians, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would bring us to a higher plane, higher, richer experiences of you. These coming days, Lord, as we enjoy you in the book of Philippians. Lord, open your word to us. We pray that you speak through all the saints. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. So we're on the experience, on the subject concerning the experience of Christ. I was here about 40 years ago when Brother Lee came by, and he traveled throughout, you know, the United States speaking on this matter of the experience of Christ. But that was 40 years ago, and a lot of has happened since then, and we have experienced Christ, but the Lord has brought us back to this matter again. And as our brother will share, we hope that the Lord will bring us to a higher level, deeper, richer experiences, because after 40 years, you forget a lot of what you've heard, and you forget about your experiences, but the Lord is fresh every day. one thing I enjoyed about this book initially is the placement of this book of Philippians. It's in between the books of Ephesians and Colossians. We know that the book of Ephesians is on the body of Christ, and the book of Colossians is on the headship of Christ, Christ as our head. So how do we get from the experience of the body to the head? Philippians shows us it's that through the experience of Christ. This in itself was an enlightenment to me, you know, just to realize this, because I've always enjoyed the book of Ephesians. It's my favorite book. And I've always enjoyed Philippians, but I didn't know the relationship between the two. But now we know. So may the Lord bring us into richer experiences so that we may be built up into the head. I want to just share 2 points, and I'll be short. The two matters that I want to share about is concerning the fellowship unto the gospel and the way to experience Christ by the bountiful supply of the Spirit. You know, Paul shares about the experience of Christ in a very particular way. We think that to experience Christ, we need to do certain things, like clear our past, consecrate ourselves to the Lord, open to the inner anointing, and all these things are right. We also have to pray and have fellowship with the Lord to open to Him, so the Lord can bring us into experiences of Christ. But this is not how Paul shows us how we can experience the Lord. Paul's concept is that, and this is not wrong, right? We should do all those things. But Paul doesn't speak about the experience of Christ in this way. Rather, in chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, "For your fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel from the first day until now." And then in verse 6, he goes on to say, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun in you a good work will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Now, he speaks about the fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel. And then he goes on in verse 6 to speak about the good work being completed in us. I always thought that the good work that the Lord was doing in us was more on the individual side. The Lord is transforming us, right? He's renewing us, transforming us, and conforming us to the image of Christ. This is the work that the Lord is doing in us. But if we look at the context of this verse, I took it all wrong all these years. In verse 5, he speaks of the fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel. And then in verse 7, he speaks about the defense and confirmation of the gospel. So verse 6 is sandwiched in between the matter of the gospel. And this matter of the gospel is the Lord, Paul brings it out in the matter, in the context of fellowship, the fellowship of unto the gospel. We should live a gospel preaching life. We should speak the gospel to our coworkers, friends, family members. And of course, that's on an individual basis. But the gospel that's spoken of here is a corporate speaking gospel. The Lord wants us to preach the gospel both by words and also by our living, but always in fellowship, not apart from fellowship. Because if we preach apart from fellowship, we'll see in a few minutes the result of that. We preach the gospel because people need to be saved, right? The Lord wants this to be our vocation. Our vocation is not our education, our job, or our family. Although these things are necessary, right? We need these things. But the Lord wants our vocation, according to Philippians, to be a gospel preaching life. In verse 14, Paul told the brothers to speak the word, right, of God without fear, right? The brothers being confident in the Lord because of my bonds, I'm more exceedingly bold to speak the word of God without. So that's speaking, right? And then in verse 15, he speaks of announcing Christ. And then in verse 15, speaks about preaching Christ. But then in verse 27, we can just look at that quickly. He says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So our gospel should not just be something that we speak outwardly and then forget about our living. Our living should match the gospel. Our living should match what we speak. And for this, we need the fellowship unto the gospel. Because on our own, we can't do this. We need the fellowship. So corporately, we need the experience of Christ primarily in preaching the gospel in the fellowship. Because if we don't, what can happen is what occurred in Philippians with some of these brothers who were preaching out of envy and strife and rivalry. Envy, I looked this word up because I just wanted to make sure I knew and understood what it means, is a feeling or emotion of discontent or resentment because you lack something someone else has, maybe something in the quality of their being, their education, the way they speak, their position. And so you want recognition also. You want that kind of recognition also. And this is envy. And somewhere I think in Romans it speaks of envy related to hatred and murder. So this is really a serious thing. And then strife is conflict because of disagreement over an issue or over a matter. It's possible that we can disagree if we're individual, how to preach the gospel. And this happened, and this has happened in the past. I remember back a while ago, back in the winter, I think it was, of last year, we were discussing the matter of the burden to continue to preach the gospel, and the matter of preaching the gospel in a different way came out. And that is to have some families, perhaps, get up and speak their testimony. And I thought, well, we've never done that before. And not that I was against it, but it was different. And I realize now that this was something that was within me that, you want to do something that you've always felt comfortable doing. It wasn't in my concept to preach the gospel in this kind of way, but this absolutely coincides with what Paul speaks of in Philippians, that to preach the gospel, we do it in fellowship. And this was a corporate, we called it what? The corporate speaking of the gospel within families. And it turned out to be very enjoyable. We learned a few things through the testimonies of the brothers and sisters that we hadn't, we've known these brothers and sisters all these years, but we didn't know about these things. And we actually enjoyed very much. Of course, there were those who got saved, but primarily what we experienced was that when we have fellowship with regard to the gospel, the Lord blesses it. And then rivalry later on speaks of the competition for superiority. So, you know, maybe we're not first, we want to be second. Lord willing, that, you know, I've never seen it really here in the church in New York, but I've seen it in other places, and I've read about it, where the preaching of the gospel is a competition. How many did you get saved? Oh, I went to this place and we got that, you know, many people saved. Or, you know, maybe amongst the churches there's a kind of rivalry. Lord Jesus, save us from these things. You know, the thing about the fellowship of the gospel is that it kills our individual person, our natural life, and ourself. If we want to preach the gospel on our own, we can do that, but it will not touch us in our being. And the book of Philippians, being a book on the experience, means that we need to experience the killing of the cross. We need the brothers, we need the sisters, right, to level us, you know, so that we're not so much, you know. In this matter of the preaching of the gospel, in this way, the fellowship in the preaching of the gospel causes us to experience Christ. So the first way to experience Christ is in the fellowship of the gospel. And the second way to experience Christ, according to verse 19 of Philippians, is by the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Christ. You know, this particular term, the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, only appears in this verse in the entire Bible. In Genesis, it speaks about the Spirit of God, right? When in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when God created, it was the Spirit of God there who was creating. Then the Spirit of Jehovah is spoken of, or the Spirit of the Lord is spoken of throughout the Old Testament. The Spirit of the Lord came upon prophets and they spoke the Word of God. And then the term the Holy Spirit is not used in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament in relation to the incarnation of Christ. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel of the Lord came to Mary and told her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore also the holy thing which is born will be called the Son of God." So we see here that the Holy Spirit is related to the incarnation of Christ. Then in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, the Lord told Joseph that which has been begotten in her, that is Mary, is of the Holy Spirit. So the Son of God is related to God in the Spirit of God in creation. The Spirit of Jehovah is related to God's relationship with man, and the Holy Spirit is in relation to the Son of God in his becoming a man, his humanity. But then in John chapter 7, verse 39, it says that the Spirit was not yet. How can this John say that the Spirit was not yet? Well, it said this Spirit was not yet because Jesus had not yet been glorified. You know, I'm glossing over. There's a lot to be spoken about these things, but I just want to bring out the matter of the Spirit, the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what that means. And in Luke 24, 26, the Lord says that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to enter into his glory. So to be glorified is for the Lord to enter into his glory in resurrection. So after his resurrection, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Holy Spirit became the Spirit of Jesus Christ, because now there was an aspect of humanity in the Spirit that was never there before. And the Lord had passed through resurrection, which he had never passed through before. In Acts 16:7, Paul says that he was in Mysia and was determining to go into Bithynia, right, Bithynia, to preach the gospel, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow him. So this is in relation, the Spirit of Jesus is in relation to the preaching of the gospel. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, that we know that Romans chapter 8 is a chapter on the Lord's resurrection. And there we see the term the Spirit of Christ, right? So to experience the Lord's humanity, we need the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And we can see this in chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, where we see that Paul's praise, He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. So, we need the Spirit of Jesus, but we also need the Spirit of Christ. We need to experience the Lord in his humanity and also in his resurrection. Here was Paul, the beloved apostle, in prison. He was here in prison, suffering, and yet he was enjoying the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He was enjoying Christ in his humanity and Christ in his resurrection power. Amen. This is why in chapter 3 he speaks of the resurrection power, that he would know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So these two things pervade, you know, the book of Philippians, the preaching of the gospel, right, in fellowship, and the experience of the bountiful supply of the Spirit. The Spirit has the bountiful supply, and even was himself the bountiful supply to the apostle who was experiencing and enjoying Christ in his human living and resurrection. And then later on, I'm not going to get into this, but he speaks about striving and things like that. Just want to end my portion with a couple of points from this book on the experience of Christ. And that is that the first chapter of Philippians is concerned with the fellowship in the gospel by the Spirit of Jesus without envy, strife, or rivalry. It is in this way that we experience Christ. To reach the head, we need the fellowship in the gospel by the Spirit of Jesus without envy, strife, or rivalry. And we should simply preach the gospel by the Spirit of Jesus. As long as there is the slightest bit of rivalry, we cannot be in the Spirit of Jesus. If we are in the Spirit of Jesus, we are not in the fellowship of the gospel, and we are through with the experience of Christ, O Lord Jesus. To experience Christ, we need the fellowship in the gospel by the Spirit of Jesus without envy, strife, or rivalry. And then finally, if we have this Spirit, we shall be in the fellowship of the gospel, and our preaching of the gospel will be prevailing and fruitful. Furthermore, our fellowship will be full of the enjoyment of Christ. This is the way to enjoy Christ and to experience him all the day long. When we stay in the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, there is no need for us to try to experience Christ. We will experience him spontaneously. Amen. So praise the Lord for the fellowship unto the gospel. Amen. Praise the Lord for the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. These two ways we can experience the Christ that's presented to us in the book of Philippians. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Well, so for these last several weeks, I guess it's 11 weeks, 6 weeks, we were on the reality of the body of Christ. And then for an additional 5 weeks, we're on living in the reality of the body of Christ by keeping the principles of the body. So when we talk about the reality of the body of Christ, a point that always seems to be important to me and to remember is that the reality of the body of Christ, it's been shared in the ministry, is the meaning of the church life. The reality of the body of Christ is the meaning of the church life. And so you could think of like a tree, and a fruit tree exists as a kind of framework for the producing of fruit. And if the church is that tree, the fruit of that tree is the reality of the body of Christ. So this word reality, I've kind of grappled with it over the past, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so. It's tough. What is, when we say reality of the body of Christ and using it in that context, what is the definition? I've found it difficult to kind of really wrap my head around it. And so when you hear the word reality, there's a couple things you could think. And a lot of times with tough words, it's one way to kind of try to figure out what it is to compare and contrast. And so one way to think about it is, well, reality, the opposite of reality is vanity. And well, if we're talking about the church life, maybe what we mean is, well, it's vain to talk about the church life. So talk is vain. Doing things is the opposite of vain. So let's be practical, not just talk about the church life. Let's do the church life and do a lot of things. And so that could be one definition. But that kind of falls short in that if that's the definition of the reality of the body of Christ, it simply means that the reality of the body is the sum total of all the activities in the church life. Well, why does that fall short? Well, it falls short because that wouldn't be, I mean, that would be hard to discern from just any kind of secular or religious organization, just doing a lot of things together. So, oh, that's the reality. So to think of it that way, that it's just the practicality, there is some truth there, but it still falls short. Well, then you could think, well, maybe reality means, you know, it's to be genuine and to be sincere. And I, for a long time, that's really what I held to, and I think there's certainly a lot of truth to that, that the reality of the body of Christ, it's sincerity and it's genuineness. You know, people like to say, keep it real. If someone has a question for you, say how you really feel. Just be honest. Well, that also isn't so isn't really quite adequate, because if what's inside of me isn't really positive and I'm just keeping it real with you, you may not receive a lot of benefit. And if, you know, we have a lot of feelings in the church life, and if I just let my feelings out all the time, maybe that wouldn't be so good. So it goes a little bit beyond just simply being genuine and being sincere. So in spending some time in prayer, in studying dictionaries and thesauri, and fellowshipping with the brothers and reading the ministry in a prayerful way, I came to appreciate Ephesians 4, 20 and 21. And I think that the use of the word reality, it most aligns with what we say. We say the reality of the body of Christ. So Ephesians 4, 20 and 21 say, "But you did not so learn Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him as the reality is in Jesus." So when the Lord Jesus, the reality in Jesus, well, we can see that in the Gospels. So the Lord Jesus had a certain kind of living, the way he spoke to people, the way he carried himself, the way he contacted people, the things he said, the way he handled situations. There's just something there. And it's indescribable, and it's an expression. And we know from Colossians 2:9 that what was within the Lord Jesus was all the fullness of the Godhead. It dwelt in him bodily. Also, Hebrews 1:3 says that he is the effulgence and he is the impress of God's substance. So you consider, what is this reality of Jesus? Well, the Lord Jesus had a certain kind of living. And that expression, that manifestation of his living, was based on a particular content. And that content was the fullness of the Godhead. So there's something coming out, and what was expressed in his living was based upon something that was valuable and something that was precious. So when we say the reality of the body of Christ, my impression is we mean something along the lines of, there's an outward manifestation, there's an expression, but it's based upon a content that is precious and is valuable. Amen. You might ask, what is this precious and valuable content? The precious and valuable content is the very person of Christ constituted into our inward parts. When this happens, there's an expression and a living out, and corporately, that is the reality of the body of Christ. And so based, you know, coming to this in prayer and in my fellowship with the Lord and having some realization, the Lord's put two verses on my heart. Those two verses are Ephesians 3, 7 and 8. And they say, "But what things were gains to me, these I have counted as loss on account of Christ. But moreover, I also count all things to be loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as refuse that I may gain Christ." Amen. Brothers and sisters, to have the precious and valuable content, to have the living of the reality of the body of Christ, it requires that I experience Christ and enjoy Christ. By experiencing Christ and enjoying Christ, then there is a content, and that content is Christ himself when we gain him. And that content is precious and it's valuable. And so the very best thing that I can do for the church life is to experience Christ and to enjoy Christ. So as considering, we went through these 11 weeks related to the reality of the body of Christ. I feel this is absolutely of the Lord now that we come to the subject, the experience of Christ. Amen. So, you know, when we talk about the experience of Christ, we usually end up talking about the book of Philippians. And I think all the messages that we'll be covering in the coming weeks will be on the book of Philippians. And we say, well, oh, Philippians, it's a book on the experience of Christ. It's a book on the enjoyment of Christ. And I just thought it would be good to go through the book in a kind of way of brief survey, chapter by chapter, and pick up the key phrases that sort of support this view that the book of Philippians is on the experience of Christ. So I'm going to go through chapter by chapter. I'm not going to share the whole verse, but just the key phrases from those verses. So briefly, in chapter 1, starting with chapter 1, verse 8, I long after you all in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, my bonds have become manifest as being in Christ. Verse 19, the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, Christ will be magnified in my body. Then in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. Going on to chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 21, the things of Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 3, boast in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 8, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Again in verse 8, to gain Christ. Verse 9, to be found in Christ. Verse 10, I'll read the whole verse. To know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Verse 12, lay hold of by Christ. Verses 20 and 21, the Lord Jesus Christ who will transfigure the body of our humiliation to be conformed to the body of his glory according to his operation. Then chapter 4, stand firm in the Lord, in verse 1. Verse 2, think the same thing in the Lord. Verse 7, guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Verse 13, finally, I am able to do all things in him who empowers me. So these are all phrases on the experience of Christ, but we also say it's a book on the enjoyment of Christ, so I will also go through chapter by chapter and read the key phrases from verses that support this view. That's chapter 1, verse 4, making my petition with joy. Verse 18, and in this I rejoice, yes, I will rejoice. Verse 26, your progress and joy of the faith. Chapter 2, verse 1, encouragement in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 2, make my joy full. Verse 17, I rejoice and I rejoice together with you all. Then verse 18, you also rejoice and you rejoice together with me. Verse 28, you may rejoice. Verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all joy. Chapter 3, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord. Then chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. And then finally, verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. So Philippians is a book on the experience and the enjoyment of Christ. And, you know, this book speaks quite a bit, a number of times it mentions the word, it talks about our soul, and it was pointed out in the outline, if you read through it, that it's possible that we can enjoy, we can experience Christ without enjoying Christ. And that sounds a little confusing, But I think our experience, you could extrapolate it out from this book, and I think our experience would testify to it. But as shared, you know, the experience of Christ is in our spirit, but the enjoyment of Christ is in our soul. And so it's possible we could live in the church life and we could have a lot of activities, but it could be that we have very limited or no joy. It's possible. And this may indicate, according to Philippians, that there could be a problem with our soul if we're not enjoying Christ. And you know, there could be a lot of reasons for that. I remember it's easy to talk about the experiences that were further back. Actually, about 20 years ago this month, I had had a reconsecration to the Lord, and I was enjoying the Lord and the church life so much, very rich, and it was just about the end of my first year of college, and I set up to have a summer job when school ended after my finals, but I arranged my schedule in a particular way so that I had a couple days for break so I could do something fun before I started my summer job. And after I made that arrangement, an opportunity came up to serve in the church life. And so the saints said, "Oh, Aaron, why don't you serve?" I was like, "Mm." And so for a few reasons, I decided not to. And again, I can share this now because it was so long ago. Number one, I didn't want to share it because I did not like the arrangement of the service. I just didn't like it. Had a bad taste for it, and so I, you know, didn't really want to. Number two, the person that was making most of the practical arrangements, I did not enjoy their company, so I didn't want to be around them. And then number three, I wanted to go fishing, and so that's why I set up the break. And remember, you know, during this time, my enjoyment of the Lord was just so rich. Probably you could say it's my honeymoon in the church life. And so I went fishing, and I remember sitting there on a rock on the river, and just, it was clear. My sweet, rich enjoyment of Christ, it had dried up. And it was almost an audible voice from the Lord. "Aaron, you should be serving in the church life. This time off was for service." And not that I'm against fishing, I still like to fish, and not that we don't need recreation, but that time, this is what the Lord had me to do. And so that was certainly an experience of Christ. The Lord was speaking to me, but that was not very enjoyable. It wasn't enjoyable. I was so dry, and I didn't end up catching any fish, and so the whole thing was a wash. So it's possible we can be in the church life. We can be a Christian, we can, you know, be regenerated, all these things, and we can experience Christ, but we may not always be enjoying Him. And it's striking, as Brother Robert shared, the very first point in this book on the experience of Christ that's brought out is that the life of experiencing Christ, the life of enjoying Christ, this is a life in the gospel service. And so this certainly may be, you know, if we're living a life of preaching the gospel, we'll be full of joy. Well, so this may be one thing. Maybe our joy is limited because we're not preaching the gospel enough. But there are a lot of things we go through in our human life where our joy in Christ is limited. So what do we do when that happens? You know, if we find ourselves, just seems the church life, it's just labor, week after week, month after month, it's all labor, not much joy. What do we do in that case? Well, there are probably a lot of things, but I think it's good we at least open to the Lord and say, "Lord, where's my joy? How come I'm not happy here?" Also, we can fellowship with the saints. And I believe when we do that, a little light comes. Some light will come from the Lord. And in studying a different portion of the ministry this week, I came across Psalms 36:9. I like that verse a lot. It says, "For with you," with God, "is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light." And this last part, "In your light, we see light." That's what touched me. You know, when we get a little bit of light from the Lord, when we begin to open up in fellowship or in prayer, we need to deal with the Lord according to that light. So it may be, maybe my joy at a certain point in the church life again becomes limited or close to non-existent, and I open to the Lord and He shines. Well, what He shines upon, I need to deal with that. And when we deal with that, I like this so much, in your light, we see light. So when light shines and we deal with the light, praise the Lord, more light comes and more shining comes. So there's a lot here, but again, I just like to say, I feel that the fact we're on the experience of Christ, this is absolutely from the Lord. If we're to have the living of the reality of the body of Christ, if our church life is to manifest the reality of the body of Christ, we need to gain Christ to be our rich content. If we have Christ as our rich content, surely the reality of the body of Christ will be with us. So the way to gain Christ is through our experience and enjoyment of Him. I gave the brothers, I'm not sure they have it, the key statements from this conference. I emailed it to you. You got it? Okay, can we pull those up? I was just thinking we could read through. We used to call these banners, now we call them key statements. Maybe we could read through them together. We'll alternate brothers, sisters, brothers, sisters. Amen. So let's read the first one, brothers. The most important thing for us to do is to experience Christ as our enjoyment today, so that the church may be built up for His glory.
Before we go to our language prophesying meetings, I felt to say just a very brief word, two points, and this is really for our prayer, something related to our prayer. As Brother Aaron just said, I want to echo this, that I really feel it is just of the Lord that we would come to the book of Philippians at this time, at this very time, in our church life, in our going on in the church life. Of course, the church is the Lord's. It is the Lord's church. He is building His church, and it is really divinely, it's sovereign, divinely arranged that we would be on certain topics at certain times. And here we are on this book of Philippians, which very prominently brings out this point of the experience of Christ. And I really appreciated Brother Robert's word at the very beginning, the placing of the books, how Ephesians is on the church, the body of Christ. Of course, Colossians very much emphasizes also the body from the viewpoint of the head. Christ is the head. He's the all-inclusive one. He's everything to the body. But sandwiched in between these two books is a book that emphasizes the experience of Christ. And that shows that we have to be careful. We have to be careful not to have a mere outward church life full of activity. And we have lots of activities in the church life here, busy all the time with many things. But it's so true that we must have a manifestation of the body that comes out of the inward reality. An inward reality, and it has to do with all of our daily personal experience of Christ. If I don't experience Christ, if you don't experience Christ in everything that we're passing through, actually, we just will not have the body, no matter what we call it. We may be having meetings on the reality of the body. Only the Lord knows how much reality we actually have. But everything boils down to your and my personal daily experience and enjoyment of Christ. And, you know, at the beginning of this book in Philippians, and Paul mentions that he prayed for the Philippians. He prayed for them several times. Firstly, it says, you know, the first thing, it's not I prayed for you. It says, I thank my God. He was thanking. He prayed in such a positive way. You know, at the end of the book, he encourages us in chapter 4. He says, in nothing be anxious, but by prayers and petition, what? With thanksgiving. Saints, in our prayers, our prayers should be with thanksgiving. You know, and he says, I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you, always in every petition, that he mentions petition, on behalf of you all, making my petition with joy. He prayed for them. You know, they had problems. But as he prayed for them, I don't think he prayed in a kind of, oh Lord, those two sisters, you know, what is it, Syntyche, and you know, the Yodas, oh those sisters, when will they learn? I don't think he prayed this way. I said, Lord, oh our sisters, thank you for our sisters. Lord, recover the joy in their coordination. He was thanking, make the petition with joy for your fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel. That's what he was praying for. And then verse 6, listen to this. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun in you a good work will complete it until the day of Christ. Even as he prayed for them, he was confident. He was confident. Lord, you're in them. You began a good work in them. Lord, complete it. Yes, they have this problem, that problem, the other thing. And one particular thing I appreciate about Philippians is that we know the intimacy of Paul's relationship with them from Acts. You know, in Acts 16, this is the first church in Europe. This is the first locality. And you know, we have the history of the beginnings of the church. When you merge these and you take... You know, you just read Philippians, and I hope we would all read the book, maybe even several times in these coming weeks. Because, you know, it's been years since we spent time in the book of Philippians, and, you know, and we've spent stretches of time. But do you realize there are hundreds of saints among us today who have not been with us when we pass through Philippians, in a kind of detailed verse-by-verse way? We're not doing that exactly this time, but we're spending weeks and weeks in the book of Philippians. So we hope we would encourage all the young ones, new ones, especially to read the book, even several times, to be immersed in the book as we go through. But really, saints, my burden is this. I hope that we would give thanks and petition for one another. Amen. In these weeks. Let us pray for one another's experience of Christ. Amen. Let's pray for one another. And I hope we pray with joy and with confidence. Not, oh Lord, oh my group meeting is so bad. No, don't pray like that. Say, Lord, thank you for every dear saint in my group meeting. Amen. And I'm confident you have begun a good work in every one of them. Amen. Lord, go on in this month. Go on these 2 months. Grow in every one of them. Show us all how to experience you in a deeper way. Amen. To go higher. Every time we come to a book, those of us who've been around, it should be higher. Our experiences has progressed, so we should pray for one another, and really that's my burden, that we should just stand with one another, pray for one another, petition for one another, give thanks for one another, pray for all the saints in the church life to really receive something, and that the issue would be the body of Christ in a very spontaneous way. I also hope, saints, that we could pray for all our college students. You know, I just returned last night from the college training, the national training, North America training that was in Illinois. And I think you all know we had about 2,800 people there, more than 1,900 college students. The rest were serving saints. And 30 plus from New York, they're on their way back even now. or they might be with the Lord's table in Pittsburgh right now, but they'll be journeying the rest of the way today. Please cover, let us cover them, all in our prayers, and pray for all these dear young people that whatever they received, oh, I wish you could have all been there to see the, we have several meetings of just consecrations from these young people who the Lord is doing something in the beginning of their Christian life, that it would really, really that the Lord would complete what he has begun unto the day of Christ Jesus. And that through them, the Lord could really do something on the campuses all over this nation. You know, we had over 300 something campuses represented. There were 41 nations represented. People came from so many different countries. Let us pray, as we pray for them, let's pray for the Lord to have a way through them on the universities all over the earth. Because as they make the contact, remember some days ago, several weeks ago, Brother Minoru Chen was here and shared this word on the gates of the New Jerusalem. These young people are the gates all over the earth for young people to come into Christ. Let us pray for them and that the word received in them would really bear fruit and eventually bear fruit in the churches as they all return. About as the saints are dismissed to the language meetings, we would sing here together 1295, and we can go to the language meetings now.